most. And so I want us, for just a minute, for a short time, I thought about the title of this mini message. How's that tonight? So this is Christmas. If you know that old John Lennon song that he sang, So This Is Christmas. And I was thinking about, and just the lyrics of that song, I was thinking about Luke. We all know that we turn, and we'll be looking at Luke chapter 2, and I want us to think about the story of the birth of Christ and how, as I was reading it, and we all read it this time of year, I'm sure, and I'll read it in the morning. My kids are on the way up. My kids are grown too, and they're on the way up, but they'll be, one's 28, one's 23, but I'll still, till you have your own kids and start, we're going to keep doing this. They'll be on our bed in the morning, four adults. We'll all be on the bed. Now, we've done this since they were little. I told you, I think I've shared that with you. And so in the morning, they'll be on our bed together, and we'll read the Christmas story together. And the reason, the purpose of doing that, we sing Happy Birthday to Jesus, too, because I don't want Christmas to be about decorations and gifts. And yes, it is. And it's family and all that. Yes, it's so important, but it's about a birthday. It's about the most important thing that ever happened to humanity, and it was Christ coming. And so I'm just going to look. We know the story about Caesar Augustus sending out the decree to be taxed, and we know that we see Scripture, and Micah says that in Bethlehem Christ will be born, and we see God using history to get Christ to be born in Bethlehem, just like He said. And so we see all that, but I want you to listen to two verses this evening, and listen to what it says. This is Luke chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. It says, "So it was that while they were there," that's Mary and Joseph, "the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in manger because there was no room for them in the inn." Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you. Thank you for this time. Thank you, Lord, for these words. Thank you for your word. Thank you for coming. I pray in Jesus' name, God, that you'll be glorified here tonight like you already have. Thank you for the great songs that were sung. We're singing, and it's our way of saying happy birthday to you, and thank you for what you did for us. And we ask these things in Christ's name and for His glory. Amen and amen. So thankful that you've come and we're together. It's a time of preciousness, and I want us to ponder a couple things on these verses that I read to you, and how Luke was a doctor and a physician, and we know how physicians can be, and they'll even sometimes, they'll speak in language that's way up here, and we're like, just talk to us in English, doc, and tell us what's going on here. So Luke was a physician, and yet we see the simplicity of the words that he used, the greatest birth of all time. There's 7.3 billion people on the earth right now that were all born, and they've been millions and billions of people that have been born all through history of time. And yet this is the greatest birth of all time. God, the only God-man that's ever been birthed. And the simplicity of the words of these pages just rung to me as I read it again. He didn't use big, flowery words or trying to make it so much better. He used simple simplicity of the moment. And I got to thinking, but wait a minute now. Luke was the writer, but who was the author? If we're not careful, God. In fact, the Scripture says that God used holy men and He breathed into them, theos panousa, He breathed into them as they wrote these holy words out. And so God, I'm thinking, we get a picture of God in the simplicity of these very words tonight. Was God wanting to blow trumpets, even though we know the shepherds just a little bit over, but at the moment of this birth, were there any trumpets going off? Were there any great words that God could use to really grasp us and shake us? And what did He say? He just said, hey, so it was that while they were there, the days were completed, and so she delivered. I'm thinking the simplicity of those words, and yet the magnitude of the moment. Do we understand the magnitude of the moment that we celebrate tonight? Do we really grasp the magnitude, the God-man? And in verse 6, man, it's no big deal. He didn't go in those details. He didn't write out. He didn't go in, you know, you'd think if something of this magnitude, every little detail would be there, right? That's how we would handle it, would we not? It was like, man, we want to capture this moment. But he just says that she delivered. And then verse 7 says, we even get, here's our only description, our only picture that we get of that moment when God is birthed on earth. Here's what it says. Look at verse 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for him in the inn. That's it. That's God being born. And yet in that, there's no description of really where does it say the birth took place? Oh, yes, now we'll here's what we'll do. It does not say he was born in a stable. It does not. Now watch out. As we're reading this, we got all these traditions that we go, and yes, but it says that she placed him in a manger. We know that's a food trough, but we don't. We'll make a nice little stable, won't we? We make it try to look good, and we'll have the kids in, and I'll never forget my daughter. She was Mary, and she had the Christ child holding him upside down, and we got all that on tape, by the way. It is tape. I can say tape because we did VCR it then. But, hey, I've got all that, and we play that back, and trying to blow out candles that are electronic with batteries, and all those memories, and we try to make it, and we have all those great memories, but here, listen, we don't even have the true description of where Christ was born. We just know that he was laid in a food trough. Now, tradition says he was a cave, and here's what we do know when we read that scripture. We know that there is... they were alone, except for her young husband. Listen, come on. Except for her young husband. I hear women say this, I don't have family, I don't have friends. She was far from family, she was far from friends. She was alone except for her husband, young husband. They had traveled, they're in a strange place. Listen, ladies, those of you especially that's had kids, you want everything right. You're like, oh, if it don't fall into place, you get a little out of whack, right? Imagine this. Here you are. We know that the census is being taken place there in Bethlehem, and so all this crowd of peoples came in that flooded Bethlehem, and the word for inn there, if we study it out, we make out that old innkeeper, right? We put him into play too. And he's turning her away. He don't have any heart. But that word for inn is a place like it, where caravans would stop. It would be our campground. It's where people would just stop. And so what the problem was is there was no room where everybody and the caravan stopped to get together. There was no room for her to have that place to have her child. And so they had to find a place, steal away. And where did they find? Well, we know it was a place where animals were being fed. Why? Because he was laid in a food trough. Not the place that you know those baskets at the hospital and everything's so clean, isn't it? Man, them nurses are over there wiping your baby off and they're making sure everything's clean and spotless. Listen, it wasn't clean and spotless at all. In fact, have you ever been where animals are fed? Most of us have up here, right? It stinks, don't it? And animals are noisy. They're not over there singing the hallelujah chorus. So we'll do that too. We'll even have the ox and lamb kept time for rump-a-pump-pump. I mean, seriously, we just make up all kinds of things because our wonder with it. You see why we do? Because we have the simple verses that Luke gave us. This is Christmas. This is Christmas. This is, and yet, the magnitude of that moment. You want to see the magnitude of that moment? It was over 2,000 years ago, and here we see it. Look around. You want real and relevant? Here we see it. On a Christmas Eve, 2016, still speaking about these simple verses. Why? Because yet the setting was not the greatest. And it probably wasn't the place that any of us would have picked. It was the place that God chose for His Son to be born upon this earth. That's Christmas. When God decided to come into eternity and space, He chose a place that man probably would have never chosen. Surrounded by animals, surrounded by a husband that's probably scratching his head. This baby's on the way. Christ is being born. And we see that here's our details. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger. We know that the swaddling cloth, they still do that. Sandy's coming in, hey, they still swaddle babies today. She said, I know how to swaddle a baby. And we saw one today, and I'm thinking, you know, why do they do it? It was just customary. It wasn't that special. Women did that to keep the limbs straight, makes the baby feel safe. It keeps them warm. So that wasn't a big deal, but then when he goes on, he says, and laid him in the manger, that was a pretty big deal, wasn't it? Why? Because that's just the old food trough. How'd you like to have to lay your baby there? Especially when the angel had come and told you what the child would be. You would probably try. It shows the humility of our God. It shows us a lesson that we can learn tonight, because probably the thing that we struggle the greatest with, humility and pride, God didn't have any problem coming to earth in that way and to being born that way. Laid him in a manger. It doesn't say stable, just a food and feeding trough, so we know wherever the animals were being, probably from the caravan that was too full, wherever the animals was being kept, that's where they stealed away, and Christ was birthed in that environment. And then the last thing it says, because there was no room for them in the inn. That's the details. Here we are, 2,000 years plus, and things really haven't changed. No room. The magnitude of the people, and I know here's you know why? They didn't grasp the magnitude of the moment. They didn't know what was going on. They were gone just like everybody else. They were Caesar Augustus, the great Caesar Augustus, had decreed that we had to do this, and they're just probably ill and fussing like we do when we have to do things that we don't like to do or want to do, and oh, they're going and hustle and bustle, and they're trying to find their place because, you know, we got to take care of old number one. Nobody will look out for you. You don't. Things haven't changed, has it? And here's a lady looking for a place. You know how it is, third trimester. Lady, you're rubbing your belly all the time. You know how ladies doing that third trimester is sticking out so far. You got to rub on it, right? You just, like, here I am. You know, I'm serious. Here I am about to have this baby, and they don't understand the magnitude of the moment. If you think if anybody that was in that caravan would have realized who it was that she was carrying and the Savior of all the world of man, would they made a place then? I don't know. I just know there wasn't any room for him then. Question is, are there any room for him now? We look at a world that doesn't have any room for him, does it? Oh, there's no room for him in our academia, in our schools, our colleges. There's no room for him in most of our workplaces and the places that we earn our money. There's really beginning to be more and more no room for him in our homes. Just a traditional maybe understanding of who Christ is and what the magnitude of the moment. No room is what he says. Jesus came into this world. He was born in the most comfortless conditions, a smelly, filthy, chilly shelter surrounded by noisy animals. That's Jesus. And you know what? It was fitting, as I was thinking that the Son of Man, that was his favorite title. You remember what he said in Matthew chapter 8? He says, foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. That's the God that stepped into eternity, that could have had anything he wanted, anything. He was God. All he had to do, he could speak it. He could have said, let there not be. He could have got tired and upset at any moment at what the world did to him. And yet he didn't. He came in the world homeless, being born in a smelly shelter, and he left on a cross homeless. Why? So that we could have eternity. So that we could have all the glories of heaven one day. That's Jesus. That's who we're celebrating tonight. The one who in John chapter 1:10 says what the world was made through him and the world did not know him. His own creation. He had said, let there be, and there was. and everything around. He sustained it all, and he comes in and bursts onto the scene, and it said the world didn't even know him. That's pretty evident, ain't it, in his birth. Pretty evident in his crucifixion. The world didn't know him. You know why? Why did God decide to come that way? Scriptures tell us the Son of Man did not come to serve or to be served, but to serve and give his life a ransom for many. His whole purpose for coming. And yet, he can be our whole example of how to live. Why is there so much turmoil in our world today? Why is it that Christmas Eve is not as glorious as it should be in a world when we understood? Why is that? It's because that we don't understand his purpose. There's really no room still. And yet, there is room to us that realize the relevance of what Christ has done for us. And tonight, I want you to search your heart and know that. Listen, this world pulls and tugs at all of us. It's hard. I'm not saying it's easy, but I'm going to tell you something. There's no relevance and no peace without getting Christ right in your life. And everybody knows that. You'll try your best to put that as far away from you, but it'll keep hitting you in the face, the truth. That truth keeps coming back home. You know what that truth is that keeps coming back home? That's God that loves you, this Christ child that gave his life for you, trying to get you straightened out. How do I know that? You're looking at one that he had to beat and bang. Whew. Miserable. Trying to have fun. Just that lot. Girls aren't the only ones that want to have fun, okay? Guys do too. I want to get out here and find just something to bring me satisfaction. Lord, just something and try everything I could. Live on the edge. Do it all. You only live once. You buy into that garbage. And you know what? You find yourself in a place by yourself asking the question, is this all life is about? The next high, the next fix, the next thrill? Is that all life's about? I promise you, you'll get sick of it, my friend. You'll get sick of it. And if you, especially if you're a child of God and he keeps wooing on, dragging you to the most miserable thing. I was the most miserable thing. And yet I realized this God that came in this way stooped down, stooped real low down for me. He died. You see, he didn't stay a babe, but he died on a cross. He grew into a man. That babe that we celebrate in the center of what we're celebrating tonight grows into a man, the God-man, and he sacrificed himself for us. He died on a cross for us, for you and me. That's why he came. That's why he came the way that he came. That's why he humbled himself to the point of death. He died as a substitute in the place of me, a lowly, wretched, disgusting sinner. That's God. That's Christmas. Take all the presents and the lights, strip it all down. Take it all away, the traditions that we celebrate, and see a babe, see the God-man, from the cradle to the cross. So this is Christmas. That's Christmas. Let me ask you this. If you got up in the morning and there wasn't any lights and there wasn't any presents under the tree, would it still be Christmas for you? That's what Christmas is. If we're not careful, we do Christmas like the world does Christmas. We're not any different. When the magnitude of the moment is a babe in a manger. Let's pray. Father, thank you. I'm still a wretched, disgusting sinner. But yet, saved by the glorious grace of Jesus Christ. Thank you. It's with thanks. Lord, I've asked myself, what am I going to give you for your birthday? And the answer is always the same. You just want me. Why? I do not know. But I want to thank you and praise you. Thank you for the magnitude of the moment that we celebrate. Thank you for these people. And as we rise and light candles and sing Silent Night, help us to realize this is Christmas. This is what Christmas is about. Thank you so very much. And so, Lord, be glorified through our lives. Help us to give you the gift of ourselves for Christmas. In Christ's name, we ask it. Amen.